Morning. Thank you, Josh. It's good to be with everybody. Today's Frank's birthday, but he's not in here. So I wanted to say happy birthday to him. I had this great joke about how they used to beat me up when it was my birthday, how we used to get punched for every year of your birthday. And I was going to tell you, feel free to do that. He's 102. But he was a boxer, so he's going to hit you back. So, great weekend last weekend with celebration of everything that God provided for us. That was awesome. Especially the ladies who helped downstairs. Thank you. That was amazing. Amen. So, Cindy Cowie, I said, how'd it go? She said, 200 people, 22 minutes. I was like, all right. So they served 200 people in 22 minutes. It was amazing. And then we had this great game of musical chairs. I won. Next year, duck, duck, goose. We're going to break some hips, okay? So it was a great time. So thank you for everybody. Just a reminder, Waterdam Wednesdays kicks off this Wednesday. Make sure, if you're going to be here for dinner, we have to know. I believe we can sign up at the welcome desk or online, so please do that so the ladies have an idea of what's going to happen. And I hope you never get bored about hearing about the kids and what's going on at the church. VBS was amazing. We got to watch the video. It was awesome. Scott, with the youth, he's doing a great job. He's got some weird techniques with the kids. It's like a Mr. Miyagi Karate Kid type thing going on. They're either pulling weeds. It was the hottest day of the summer there at Kennywood. This past Wednesday, they were washing walls. And they were outside cleaning the windows. So I'm not quite sure what the kind of discipline that is all about. I'm all for it. But, man, what a blessing. So, with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your mercy for us. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for everything that you do for us. Thank you for the love and the laughter that we can have when we come in here and we lift you up. We thank you for that, Lord. As we look at this weekend and we look at Labor Day weekend and we lift up those that are young folks that are entering the workforce for the first time, Lord. We lift up those that are looking for employment. Father, we lift up people starting businesses. And we lift up those that are retiring. We lift up the moms who have the most important job. So we thank you for them. We ask you to give them strength and patience. Father, we lift up our missionaries who are the hands and feet who are doing your work. We lift up everybody throughout the world, your entire church body. We ask you to have your hand on them and guide them, especially those that are in Afghanistan and places where it's not safe to worship you. And yet they're an incredible and awesome example of somebody living out their faith. So we thank you for them. We ask you to put your hedge of protection around them. And we lift up Pastor Jack as he's getting some time off that well deserved. We thank you for him. We thank you for him leading this church and being our shepherd, Father, the under-shepherd of your son. And Jesus, we thank you for everything that you've done for us. And you tell us that your yoke is light. And we put our hope in that, and we put our trust in that. And we know that is true. So we thank you for everything. We lift this morning up to you, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So right now we're in between sermons series. CJ calls this a bridge. This is a bridge sermon. And it's Labor Day weekend, so I kind of wanted to keep it within the theme. So first I thought Deuteronomy 33 and 34... You know, Moses, he never retired, right? But then I thought that might be the wrong way to go. So then I thought, okay, millennials, you know, work ethic, 2 Thessalonians 3:10, if you don't work, you don't eat. And then I thought, no, that's probably not the right way to go either. So Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I thought that was pretty good too. I thought that was actually good, right? But I was thinking about what Pastor Jack discussed last week with his sermon about the building of the foundation. And he showed those pictures of those giant rocks. And he talked about how when Waterdam met across 19 in the office building, how he's like, it didn't matter the building, you know, where the building was, because it's about Christ, it's about the church. And as I was thinking through that, you know, he was talking about the cornerstone, the foundation is Christ, the living stone. And with it being Labor Day weekend, I wanted to kind of work within, you know, the foundations of the church from a laboring or a working aspect and what the foundation of that looks like. And I think that Ephesians 4:11 through 16 gives us a really good idea of what Christ gave us as a foundation for working in unity, what it looks like in unity with the church. So to give you a little background, the book of Ephesians was written by Paul. We know this for two reasons. One, because the very first word in the book of Ephesians is Paul. He's stating in the introduction that he wrote the book. The other thing is this. We're going to cover 5 verses. And this is classic Paul. And this is what Josh was saying. The, you know, the sentence starts with and. It's classic Paul. There's two periods. There are two full sentences in these verses that we're going through. And there's like 20 commas. Like, that is Paul. Like, I can only imagine the scribe that was writing there that when Paul was talking, and he was like, you got to end this sentence. There's so many colons and commas. He's like, you got to end this sentence. So it's definitely Paul. Paul wrote the letter. And a lot of Paul's letters were directed to specific churches, and they were to address specific things that were going on. So, like, 1 Corinthians, that church was... There was a lot of disunity going on in the church in Corinth. So Paul wrote that letter directly to them. Galatians was written to the church of Galatia with some issues that they were having. But the letter to the Ephesians is interesting because it probably wasn't written directly to that particular church. And the reason is because there's moments within the book where Paul kind of alludes that he's never met these people before. But he spent a ton of time with them. Like, he spent more time in the church at Ephesus than almost any church that he was with. So the idea is this, that Paul wrote that letter to the churches in Asia Minor. So the gist of the book of Ephesians is about unity. It's about unity in Christ. It's about unity in the church, the big C church. So bringing everybody together. The overarching theme is to define the task of the church, to be the hands and feet of Christ. That's the book of Ephesians. So let's dig into this. Let's jump right into it, and then we'll dig it apart, and we'll see how it applies to us. And we're going to see how it applies to us as we go through this. So when we look at verse 11, it says, "And he," and Josh was right, "he is Jesus, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers." Now your version might say, "And he gave some the apostles, some the prophets, some the evangelists, some the shepherds." What these are, what he's listing here, are the gifts that Jesus gave to the church. These are the foundational gifts that Christ gave to the church to establish the unity to establish what we need as a healthy church. Pastor Jack says, healthy things grow. And that's true. And this list is a list of the people within the church who do a work within the church to let the church be healthy and grow. So the first thing that he lists is the apostles. He says, Jesus gave us the apostles, gave the church the apostles. And the apostles, in order to be an apostle, there were two things. One is you had to be, Jesus became appointed the apostles. So think of the way that Matthew was sitting at the table and he said, come follow me. You know, Jesus appointed the apostles. So that's one aspect of being an apostle. The other is eyewitnessing the resurrected Christ. So like Barnabas was an apostle, Paul an apostle. So that was how you became an apostle. And the reason that Jesus gave us the apostles is for the foundation of the church. Like, what did the apostles give us? The Word of God. The apostles gave us the New Testament. Like, that's a pretty big deal. You know, I mean, that's a huge gift. That helps us. It helps us understand who Jesus is. It helps us understand how we're supposed to live with each other. It helps us understand how we're supposed to go to work, how we're supposed to treat each other, how we're supposed to come into the church, worship. So that's a huge foundational gift that he gave. The next thing was the prophets. So when we see the word prophets, I know my mind thinks like somebody that predicts the future. But this isn't the case. This isn't when we see this word prophets, think more of a line of somebody who can read the Word of God, rightly divide the Word of God, and explain the Word of God. Okay? Sometimes that might have been something that happens in the future. So think Daniel. Okay, the prophet Daniel. He was like both. He was given the ability to see into the future, not like he, you know, people, the Holy Spirit gave it to him. It's not like he was looking into a crystal ball or anything like that. But he had the gift of prophecy, but he also had the ability to rightly divide the Word of God. And we see that in Daniel 9, when Daniel is sitting there, he's praying, and he's reading the book of Jeremiah. And he realizes that the time of captivity for the Jews is coming up, is over. It's over. So he was able to read the Word of God, divide it, and then explain to people that, hey, we're getting out of here. The time is up. So when we look at prophets, think of somebody that can understand the Word very well. Evangelists. We have evangelists now. This church is full of evangelists. Evangelist is a preacher of the gospel. They speak the gospel. They proclaim the gospel. We're all evangelists. We should be evangelists at work. We should be evangelists in our homes, around our friends. We should be sharing the gospel with everybody. And that's a foundation to our faith. And then the last thing is shepherds and teachers. Your Bible might say preachers and teachers. And we have Pastor Jack. I mean, what does he do? He overlooks the church, you know? He's our shepherd, he's our guide. He's responsible for delivering and instructing the Word of God. And we have teachers. We have, Andy's a teacher, Russ is a teacher. I love these guys. I go to Russ's class and I learn about God. I learn about who he is. I learn about his word. But I also learn about how I'm supposed to treat people because I watch how Russ treats people within the class. It's amazing. I have conversations with Andy that blow my mind. Like, he is the most Christ-centered, gentle soul I've been around, and he's so funny. And he just gets it. He's helped me in so many ways. And then Pastor Jack, okay? I'm with him every day. Like, I sit at the feet of Pastor Jack, and I mean that with all humbleness. I'm not putting him on a pedestal. But man, that man pours into me He pours into all of us. If you would have saw what he, the amount of time that he put into last week's sermon was unbelievable. So we have these men, like, we have these men and women that Jesus, in the foundational aspect of it, gave the church, the beginning of the church that follows to us today, okay? And as much as I love Russ, and I love Andy, and I love Pastor Jack, we're not to put them up on a pedestal. And they would tell you that. We're not to put them up on a pedestal. They're gifts from God. Those men and the women that help us out, that train us up, they're gifts from God to edify God for the unity of the church. And here's your Spurgeon quote for the day. It says, Jesus' personal presence would be better to us than 10,000 apostles, at least so we dream. And we imagine that with Jesus visibly among us, the progress of the church would be like the march of a triumphant army. So think about last week when there's 200 of us downstairs in the fellowship hall. That was awesome. It was awesome, but it's nothing like when Jesus comes back and we're all together and we're all in God's fellowship hall and we're all together at that particular time because it's about Christ. It's not about us. So what are these gifts for? So verse 12, these gifts to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So to equip the saints. Now, that word equip is really cool. So when we read the Bible, we're reading it in our English, but sometimes those words mean a little more, a little different than what we actually read. So that word equip, or you might have to perfect the saints, comes from the Greek word katartism. Okay, katartism. The verb of that means to make something whole again or how it ought to be. Okay, so from the medical field, if you get a broken arm, they mend your arm back together. They make it how it ought to be. Okay, so from a biblical perspective, it's to make us, to perfect us, to put us back to where we're supposed to be, how we ought to be. Making something whole again, because we're the saints. Like, we are the saints. And we, in all those things, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers, they're to equip us. That's the gift to us. And what are we supposed to do? You know, we're to work. We're to do the ministry, the service, to build up the body of Christ, to build up Christ's church. That's what it's all about. It's about building that up. It's about the service. And then in verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature, of the fullness of Christ. So until we attain unity or oneness, till we're all together, we're unified as a church, in that faith is a convicting faith. It's just not faith. Like, I have faith in Christ, but it's convicting faith. It's that faith that you can go out and tell people, I have faith in Jesus. I put my faith in the Son of Man the Son of God, because that's the only way to get to heaven. For what he did for us, that's convicting faith. It's not just faith. It's not just sitting back. And that knowledge is a full acknowledgement of who Christ is. And it's to mature in manhood, to measure the stature and the fullness of Christ. Okay, it's spiritual maturity. And what does that mean? The stature of the fullness of Christ. It's an understanding. It's an understanding of who Christ is. It's an understanding that he's all man and all God. It's everything that he is. It's the baby in the manger. It's all the miracles. It's hanging on a cross. It's the resurrection. It's the lamb. It's the temptation in the wilderness. It's him today, right now, seated at the right hand of the Father. It's the fullness, understanding the entire fullness of who he is. And it's the gospel. It's understanding who we are with him and how we're nothing without him. It's understanding that we're sinners, right? We are sinners in need of a Savior. And he's the only perfect sacrifice. And he did it for you. He did it for me. He didn't have to. He was obedient to the end. He hung on a cross and he died for us. And then he was buried. And in 3 days he rose again. And he sits at the right hand of the Father. That's all he is. It's understanding the fullness of who he is. And that's the unity of the church. When we understand, when we grasp who Christ is and what he did and how he took every sin that I ever did is on him right now. Every sin that you did is on him. Everything that we ever did wrong, he took on us. And God looks at that and he doesn't see us with those sins anymore because of what he did for us. And that's the oneness that we have. That's our unity. Our unity is in Christ and Christ alone. In 14, so that we no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. So we're to be growing up. We're not to be children. We're not to be infants. We're not to be immature Christians. We're to grow. We're to grow in Christ. We're to grow with each other. We're to use those gifts that Christ gave us, those people within the church that are here to build us up. We're to lean on them. We're to learn from them. And we're to grow up in Christ. And then there's something real important here. It talks about being tossed to and fro. Not falling after everything, like everything that we hear. We're not to be babes who follow false prophets. In Jesus's time, in Paul's time, excuse me, there were people that were called Gnostics. And what they did was they thought that they had an extra revealing of who Jesus was or something about Christ. And there's religions today that add to the word. They add to it. They think that they have something that Jesus is more than, or we're more than, but we're not. Paul was fighting that back then. We're fighting that today. Because anybody that adds to Christ, or adds to the word, or needs another book to go beyond this, is a false prophet. Martin Lloyd-Jones says this: false prophet is a man who has no straight gate or narrow way to his gospel. He is nothing which is offensive to the natural man. He pleases all. So think of somebody. I can think of a guy in Texas. He's got a huge stadium filled with people this morning, who he's just telling everybody how great everything is. You know, Jesus loves you. He's going to give you $1 million. You just have to pray for it. Name it and claim it. There's thousands, tens of thousands of people that are going to go there this morning and listen to that. And that's nowhere in the Word of God. It's nowhere in here. And so we need to put everything that we have in the Word of God and not to and fro. And it's going to be offensive. It's going to hurt sometimes. It's going to sting sometimes. Sometimes somebody's going to come up to you and say something that might correct you. And it's going to hurt. And that's okay. As long as it's done the right way. As long as it's done biblically. As long as it's done in unity. Verse 15. rather speaking, I think this is only the second sentence. All that, and here's sentence number two. Rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. So that's that to and fro, not being tossed to and fro, and speaking in love. Paul talks about that all the time. Lead with love, lead with love, lead with love. We have a really, I know I do, that's like one of my hardest things. Like, I'm Irish, like, I'm on off. Like, I'm the love thing is, I have to work at the love thing. But we have to lead with it. We have to lead with love. We have to want what Christ wants so bad that it doesn't matter what I want or what somebody else wants. And he led with love. There's no greater than the love that Jesus has for us. And we're to focus on him. 16, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. There you have love again. So we're to be held together. Our church, this group of people, Water Dam Church, and the big church, is to be held together. And the picture that Paul writes here, he talks about being held together at every joint. And you can look at that like what Pastor Jack was showing us last week with those giant stones. In between those stones is mortar. That mortar is what's holding everything together. You knock one of those stones out, the whole thing could fall down. And it's that mortar that's holding it together. And that's what Christ does. That's our unity. Our unity is in Christ, and he's holding us together. Or you could look at it from a physical, like your body. You have your joints, and you have muscles and tendons and sinews and all that stuff. And that's holding us together because we're a body. And that's Jesus. Jesus is, he's holding us together. And when it's working properly, bless you, when it's working properly as a church, it's like a well-oiled machine. VBS was a well-oiled machine. We were moving to and from. We were doing our thing. It was awesome. Last Sunday, well-oiled machine. 22 minutes. Like, that's nuts. Who even looks at the road? Like, all right, go. Like, she was on it. Well-oiled machine. I sat back multiple times and sat on the windowsill and just looked out at everybody. And it's just like Jack said it. He's like, you know, if this is anything like heaven, I can't wait to get there. Like, that was beautiful. Seeing that last week was amazing. We were all together, you know? It was unity. It was a beautiful celebration. So he gave us the apostles. He gave us the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. And we have all those people in this church, men and women. We have them all together, okay? Old, young, we have them. And they're here. Okay. Now, what do we do with it? Like, we have to do this. We have to come together, and we have to do it, right? We have to commit. And it's that faith, that convicting faith. We have to commit to each other. We have to commit to the church of Water Dam, and we have to commit to the church of Jesus, the Big C church, too. And how do we do it? Well, we have to get spiritually healthy. Like, we have to commit to our own spiritual health. We have to be in the Word of God every day. Every day. We have to be around people who can hold you accountable, who you can pick up the phone and talk to. You have to be able to find a mentor or a partner, somebody that's going to get real with you and tell you when you mess up and be honest with you. And you have to be mature enough to hear that and not get offended and not let it hurt your feelings. This should hurt your feelings, not the words out of somebody's mouth. This is what should convict you. See, we have these things, they're called blind spots. Like, I can't see over here. I can only see what's in front of me. And what's in front of Dan is always good. It's, you know, roses and unicorns and everything, right? I don't see what's over here, and that's what you guys see. Somebody needs to tell me when I'm doing something or I'm saying something that I don't see. It's important. There's so many Bible studies here. There's so many ways that we can build on our spiritual health here. There's no excuse. There really is no excuse. We need to get spiritually healthy. Church membership. All right. So, you know, sometimes things sting, and I know that. And I know that people get hurt by a church, or you could have been hurt at a church. I'm one of those people. We've been at Water Dam. The Fennells have been at Water Dam for 6 years. The church that we were at previous to that, we were there for 12 years, and Jen was the Marge of that church. I know what it's like to have that divorce. It's painful. You lose friends, and you get hurt. However, you need to be a member of a church. If you've been coming to Water Dam for a year, I would hope that you would see the love that is poured out to each other week after week, day after day, month after month. I would hope that you would see that even when things get a little rocky, that there's still a lot of love and things are led with love. I would hope that you would be able to forgive and forget of the places where you did get hurt and be able to come alongside people that love you, that will hold you, that will be with you. And it doesn't just have to be Water Dam. If you're here at Water Dam for the first time, welcome. And I'm sorry that you're putting up with me and not Pastor Jack. However, you need to find a home. You need to find a church home. God wants you in a church home. God does not want you going from one church to another to another. Now, if you're trying to find a place, that's one thing. When you're just checking a place out, I get that. But if you're going from one church every year to another church to another church, God doesn't want that. And if you're looking for the perfect church, Alistair Begg says this: if you're looking for the perfect church, do not join it, because you will ruin that perfect church. Okay? He says it with a Scottish brogue, so it sounds a lot better than my Pittsburghese. But it's important. You could say, Dan, church membership is not biblical. Neither is electricity. Okay? But church discipline is biblical. And it's important. And if you're not a member of a church, you can't be disciplined. Okay? And I don't mean like, you need to always be, I don't mean it that. I don't mean that. But this is what I do mean. If I need discipline and I'm not a member of a church, I walk away. It doesn't matter. But if I'm a member of the church and I understand why I'm a member of the church and I understand that the people that are around me are lifting me up and trying to bring me back, that's what's important. It's about unity, the unity of the church. That's what church membership is about. It's not about having how many people can we put on the rolls. That's not what it's about. Sorry. Service. We talk about service all the time. There are so many things to do. So many things to do. There are like, I know Levi was probably scrambling for people to do communion today and the offering. I know that there are there's a handful of people that are doing a lot downstairs in the fellowship hall. There is, I know that Liz could still use a couple more people in Awana. There are so many ways to serve here. The Big C Church needs your help too. There are so many places to serve. It's unbelievable. But that's what the unity is about. It's the unity of the church. When we are spiritually healthy, when we understand the fullness of Christ and everything that Christ wants to do with us, and we are a member of a body, we will serve. We will gladly serve. I say this all the time. Meredith, you know what it's about. VBS was the best time you ever had, right? We were all together and we were serving together. It's not even service. It's all for the Lord. It's not even service. So we got Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Two periods, 20 commas. But it's the foundation. It's the gifts that Christ gave us. That Jesus got the early church. He was building them up. He was getting them ready to pass it on to the next generation. I talk about my spiritual family tree. I'm so sorry for getting choked up. And I look at the men and women that are on my spiritual family tree. And what they poured into me, the things that they did, they poured into me. They didn't have to do that. But they were just following Christ. They were being godly. And that's what we're supposed to do. He gave us those gifts. We're to use them. We ought to use them, okay? So when we think about Labor Day, we think about the rest that we're supposed to have from work. We need to think about Christ and the work that we're to do for him. And our work does not save us. We know that. He did all the work. He's done everything. We don't have to do any work. He's done it. Okay? But he gave us gifts that we need to use. And as a church, we need to go out and use those gifts. So today, we're going to come together as one, as a church, and we are going to go to the table of the Lord, and we're going to have communion as one, the way we're supposed to. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for everything that you've done for us. We thank you for all that you are. We thank you for the gifts that you give us. Thank you for the foundation that you established, your church, the early church, the men and women that poured into our lives, Lord, who took the time to, whether it was just a note of encouragement or sitting down and explaining a Bible verse to us, or to show us how to treat our wives, husbands, or our children. But you put something into those people because it was all for you. I mean, we're empty until you pour into us. And Father, this morning, we just ask you to pour it back into us, Lord. Fill us up. Fill us up with your love. Fill us up with your love for you and the love for your church, the love for Waterdam, Lord. We give you all the thanks, all the praise, and all the glory for everything that we have. And we have nothing without you. And Jesus, we thank you so much for the sacrifice that you made. For being obedient to the end. For taking everything on. Everything that we are. All of our dirt you took on for us. So we thank you for that. There's no words. Thank you doesn't even seem like the right way. It's not enough. We praise you. We honor you and we give you all the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, the Church of Ephesus. was mentioned in the book of Revelation. So it was the first church that was mentioned, and it was one of the churches that Jesus had an approval for. It wasn't so bad, but he gave them a warning. He told them, he said, don't lose your first love. Your first love. Don't lose your first love. And when I think about that, I think about when I came to Christ and how on fire for the Lord I was. I was like on fire. And I didn't always cry. I didn't. So one of my big branches went to go to the Lord yesterday. So I'm a little verklempt because of that. But I know who he's with the Lord. So, yeah. So don't lose your first love. You know, Jesus is our first love. Don't lose that. Because that's what brings us together. That's what that unity is. It's all about Christ. And we can have discussions about things, but it's about Jesus. That's where our unity is. Amen? Amen? All right, here's the words of the benediction. It's taken from Romans 15, 5 and 6. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may be one voice glorifying the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless.